And now, live from the studios of Freedom's Phoenix, Ernest Hancock.
Believe me when I say we have a difficult time ahead of us. But if we are to be prepared for it, we must first shed our fear of it. I stand here without fear because I remember. I remember that I am here not because of the path that lies before me, but because of the path that lies behind me. I remember that for 100 years we have fought these machines. And after a century of war, I remember that which matters most. We are still here! Today, let us make them remember. We are not afraid!
Yeah, welcome to Declare Your Independence with me, Ernest Hancock. We're gonna set all our dials and stuff here. We just got into Quartzsite. We're here. It's always Quartzsite that has keeps us entertained. And what we're gonna do is we're gonna go ahead and try and make sure that we have an update, an understanding of what's going on here in Quartzsite. And I'll tell you why we're here. Mike O'Connor, one of the technical engineers, came with me just to make sure I didn't die. And somebody can call my wife when I get arrested. Because this is what's going on. Quartzsite is due for an update. What's going on in Quartzsite? Well, Quartzsite's got a pushpin in it. Quartzsite, that's my song, okay? Because there's a whole bunch of stuff that's happening that we need to understand how it's done in Quartzsite, because what happens is, as we focus on small jurisdictions like this, and we understand who are the enforcers, who are the people that's the insulation to the real work that's being done by the wire, the city council, mayors, and so on, who is the city prosecutor, who are the judges, who allows the abuses of individual rights to happen? What's the purpose of government? Defend individual rights. Well, where they're the ones taking them away, you go, okay, how are they doing that? Why are they doing that? To what extent are they doing that? So we're looking at a mechanism by which we are able to understand the planet. Now, Nicola Dula, she'll be here in the last hour from 9 to 10. From 7 o'clock on, we have a lot of local people here. Jennifer Jones, you may remember her from the infamous you're not allowed to talk at the city council meeting, you get arrested thing. That went planetary. Then you had the Oath Keepers come out and do a deal this last summer. Jordan Page come out and play in support of the Quartzsite 8, 10, 12, however many it was, we'll find out. And then we have one of those gentlemen who wants to give us an update on what's been going on while we haven't been paying attention. But I already know. I don't have to even know to already know. Quartzsite's got a pushpin in it. And that means if I'm Dr. Evil in my volcano lair, and I'm sitting there looking at my big world map kind of thing, I got pushpins in certain areas of the world and countries and towns and cities and so on to where something's going to happen I'm going to benefit from, I can do later. Quartzsite's one of those places. Because it's at the intersection of 95 and I-10, 95 goes straight from the Gulf of California up through Yuma, Quartzsite, Parker, Las Vegas. It's out, and you think you're out in the middle of the nothing. And a lot of people came here to be out in the middle of the nothing. Well, they found that there's a something. There's an ocean of water underneath them. That's one thing. On the other side of the Colorado River in California, Blythe and such, there's enormous agriculture going on. Here in Arizona, they didn't. Because, I don't know, wait till later. California was doing it. So there is a transportation beeline that's going to be made from Hermosillo, which is they're going to have a rival port that will rival Los Angeles. When economic times are good, what happens? You'll have a line of freighters out there sitting waiting to be unloaded. So I said, you know what? We can do this in Gulf California out there, and we just unload it in Mexico, and that's when you start hearing all about this Canamex stuff, and Mexican truckers are going to get immunity from and limits of liability insurance, how their trucks can come on U.S. and go in Las Vegas, all the way up to Washington, Canada, Canamex. Now, a lot of attention is given to Texas, but, you know, Arizona, here we go. So we've been following Quartzsite since, oh, man, late 80s they incorporated, I think it was. And then throughout the 90s we've been tracking them. We have a friend, they tried to shut down a newspaper, even just a little bit of news. They go, oh, no, no, you got to have a permit. Goldwater Institute got involved, gave it to the Institute for Justice. They won, said, no, you're not allowed to say you got to have a permit to run a paper, seriously. So this is, we've been keeping a little focus and attention on for a long time. This last fall, they had a recall election for the mayor, Ed Foster. Ed Foster was elected on, we're going to find out where the money's going, what's going on, let's go find out, and whatever. The day that he is to be sworn in, the old council goes, okay, we transfer power and, you know, tap you on the shoulder with a sword of Excalibur or whatever. They decided, they go, you know what, we're going to eliminate all the powers of the mayor. Here you go, new mayor. You don't get to do nothing. So, okay, fine. So we'll act as a citizen, we'll do freedom of information. I want to know where all the money's going. It goes through, back and forth, out secret meetings, open meeting violations. You have, they're not getting the data. We find the data. All of a sudden, boom, we got a whole bunch of people that are getting paid that don't exist. How'd that happen? Where's that money going? So this is, you know, I really am intrigued by this whole process, because it's just an example of how you can look at government at a, on a global scale. It's all the same. You get the same enforcers, the same clerks, the same judges, the same, you know, you fill all these positions. It's just, you know, with a bureaucracy that's small or large. And here, it's small. It may come down to an individual, so you can get a real good beat on it. And you start to find out what their interests are. Surface leasing here, you know, we'll find out if they've checked on that, because I've been real butthead about it. You want to know who really is controlling, wants to know what's what? Find out who's got the surface lease on the Bureau of Land Management land out here, because you can put a lease on the land. It's called surface lease. You're for grazing, leasing cattle, whatever. You find out who those people are, you know, they know. They know what's going on. They do it through trust and lawyers and this, and they get on the council and they vote, and we need to qualify for a grant to be able to have get extra good terms on financing for a big development of our hotel or apartment buildings or our development or whatever. And to do that, we got to meet the criteria for leagues of cities and towns and how many people are on the municipal water supply so that we can tax them, fluoridate them, do whatever to them. You know, it's a template that's followed. God, it's just getting more and more global. Just yesterday, we had John Perkins, Confessions of an Economic Hitman, on the show. And I remember detailing it even more in previous shows. I'm going, it looks like everything that you're talking about, where you go to these countries and you talk to these leaders and so on, you're doing exactly what they're doing here on a local level. They're indebting the people. They're going, you know, thanks for playing. We're going to indebt you. We have bonds. You owe money. So, you know, fork it over. Sucks to be you. They went to Quartzsite, all these people. Out in, if you look at Quartzsite, it's about halfway between Phoenix and Los Angeles, and it is in the middle of the nothing. I mean, desert, man, they make movies out here. This is you nothing. So what happens? They thought they were getting away. And they go, no, 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 you're so not allowed. You're under the thumb. Now, when we come back, we got Jennifer Jones in the RV. Now, we're out here just shaking down, making sure, hey, I made it out here. No, 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 no. So hopefully I'll make it back. Then we'll check the mileage, which would be 5-6 miles a gallon, I'm sure. So we got it all painted up. We got the little FM transmitter. We may select a station here and broadcast. We may go ahead and, you know, we're going through the network, LRN, and we're going planetary. You know, and we're just checking everything out. And what better than to come out here and do it? Because Nicola Dula, one of our activists, she was out here a month and a half ago or so, and they arrested her for not having a permit to sell her hemp necklace sitting on the side of the road, kind of, and give her a warning. She's like rolling everything up and getting ready to go. She didn't go fast enough, lick enough boot, kiss enough ring, arrested. Well, she had some silver in her wallet, 5 dimes, silver dimes, and a quarter, and a dollar bill. And what'd they do? They gave her a check for $1.75 when she's getting out. No, I want my silver back. Oh, yeah? Get back in jail. So this is going, she's coming here for her trial today. That's why we're here. We're going to have us some fun. Stay right there.
Rhodes. It's the Ernest Hancock Show. Where we're going, there aren't any roads.
Hello, hello, hello. Welcome back to Declare Your Independence with me, Ernest Hancock. Now, we have Jennifer Jones in the mobile studio of Freedom's Phoenix here in Quartzsite, Arizona, live from in front of the city council. And we have, I guess it's a municipal building. They have their courts in there and so on. And it's kind of interesting. When you go to court here, you have to, a lot of times, sign a waiver saying it's okay that the guy that arrested you, his grandmother, wife, girlfriend, or whatever, can adjudicate. And you go, no, I don't think so. And they go, all right, well, fine. Then you got to go to Yuma, or you got to go to Wickenburg. You got to drive a couple hours away to go do it. And then they go, we're so sick of your little political dissident crap that we're doing. We're just not even here and dismiss. And what it just keeps. Is that stuff still going on, Jennifer?
Actually, it's going on, and it's gotten even more strange. The magistrate judge, who was the wife of, is still the wife of the police sergeant, has now been made the town clerk, and the wife of the town prosecutor slash attorney is now the new police administrator, and it's just been a nepotism run rampant, you know, musical chair shifting of people around.
So how do you get, you know, kind of a... you know, impartial adjudication? Are you going to, you're saying no, can you say no, or do you have to sign a waiver it's okay or not? You go somewhere else? How does that work?
Well, before, if you refuse to waive the conflict, then they would bring in a different magistrate or municipal judge. We've, since this has happened, we've got a new interim, sort of temporary, new cowboy on the scene, Judge Lawrence C. King. He ran for, I believe, the legislature. He clerked for a federal court judge, and he works for Paradise Valley and the Colorado River Indian Tribes, and he's come out here to clean up Quartzsite, he thinks. So I don't know how that's going to
okay,
work.
Okay, wait. How did he come out here? Did he get assigned, or he just volunteered his services, or what?
Well, I haven't seen the contract, but he may have been the only one willing to take the job, since he's probably already driving to the Colorado River Indian Tribes just down the road. So he may have been convenient in the area and available, which might have been the only criteria left.
Why they even have him? Why didn't they just keep using who they had? What pressure was put on them that they would change anybody?
Well, they fired the town clerk for allegedly disclosing the contents of a secret email to me, which it was news to me when I finally found out. But apparently, according to the evidence that came out at her review hearing with the personnel board, was that the police chief had sent an email from some secret account that he accesses on his BlackBerry to the county prosecutor, and they were trying to get a warrant to go in my house, something they've already done and found nothing in the past. So I'm thinking to myself, well, this can't be good, because why would you want to go back in my house again a second time unless you wanted to plant something? But anyways, it was news to me, and she had not told me anything, but she was fired for allegedly reading the contents of a secret email. Well, that left us without a town clerk. So they made the former magistrate judge the new town clerk and hired Judge King. I think part of the problem being this conflict defense, continually having to bring in outside judges.
So people know there has been, you're not allowed to dissent. They're just not allowed. We got guns. How many times have you and your husband been run through the background check by this police chief here?
Well, according to the now former police administrator, Linda Conley, who did an audit of the system before she was terminated, her sworn statement to DPS Major Crimes Division was that my husband had run something like 253 times in a two-year period, and I had been run 166 times, and a man named Russell Sias, who I think teaches Sunday school at the Mormon Church, had been run 58 times for the privilege of running for town council a year or so ago. So clearly there's an abuse of the system, which is a felony. And this is one of the things that's been under investigation since, well, basically May. And amazingly, DPS has not come back with any kind of an answer after months of investigating multiple complaints and a lot of evidence turned over. We've heard absolutely nothing out of DPS about whether anybody's going to be charged or indicted or cleared or anything. Just silence.
Okay. All right. So you're here. Do you have some court action today also?
Yes, I have a pretrial conference with the new special prosecutor because the town prosecutor had to step down because it appears that he's been selling T-shirts on Cafe Press with my image, comparing me to a cartoon mad cow. And I put it on the front page of my newspaper, and he's been defaming other people in town, the former mayor, the other public defenders. So he's been removed.
Okay, wait. Okay, time out. Start over. I'm looking at the Desert Freedom Press. You're trying to show me this stuff before. No, we go fresh. All right. We have the prosecutor, attorney, somebody that would
He's
be...
both the prosecutor and the town attorney, which
okay,
is clearly
at the same time the same that time. He is the county, the city prosecutor and the attorney for the city, he is putting on Cafe Press... trying to make money off of Jennifer Jones' mad cow kind of T-shirt thing.
Not only that, but T-shirts that say QPOA DOA, meaning Quartzsite Police Officers Association, dead on arrival. That's another design you can purchase through this Quartzsite Bagger Cafe Press.
Okay, site. Now why would he say such a thing? What Quartzsite Police Association, DOA, what does that mean?
Well, the Quartzsite Police Officers Association is the union for police officers, and they were the ones that filed the complaints against the police chief. And those are the Quartzsite, originally the Quartzsite 10, now the Quartzsite 8. Two of the officers that needed their jobs and could be easily manipulated were hired back, and the other eight stood their ground. And so they were terminated for blowing the whistle on what they felt was illegal and unethical conduct by the department. And they're currently in litigation against the town.
Okay. As I understood it, what happened was when they started doing all their stuff against you and you start filing suits and everything, all of a sudden, sooner or later, somebody's going to show up for the insurance. Here's the insurance. Here's the risk assessment people. Here's risk management. They come in and they say, all right, we got a government number. We got us a lawsuit. We got, you know, something's happening here. We need to see all the evidence on this. When that happened, all these other officers are going, damn, man, we're going to, you know what? We do not want to be part of we know what's coming. So they send a letter to the county attorney and they say, look, man, we don't, you know, not us. All right. 10 of them. Which is, I mean, the whole force is what, 15 or something?
80% of our police department.
So they just went, no, we're, no, heck no. So then what do? They go, you're fired. So they were trying to cover their own butt, you know, and eight of them still are doing that. Two of them made a deal, came back and worked and got a job. And the whole process was going through. That's where the Oath Keepers came here and supported these guys, defending their oath, taking their oath seriously. You know, protecting rights of individuals, all that kind of you're supposed to do it stuff. And they go, nope, fired. Now, I went back and forth, and the union attorneys represented them, and I guess they lost, and they were terminated. Now, so now they're sitting here with, I guess, a civil suit of some kind.
Absolutely.
Civil suit. Now, all this comes about because then they started looking at the records of how they're persecuting any political dissent here in the town, and they're, you know, checking you 200 times, you know, for to get you on a terror no-fly list kind of stuff. I'm telling you, man, this is just an example of the stuff that's going on, and she's going to be at court again today. We'll find out why for Jennifer Jones as we come back.
It's time for Declare Your Independence with Ernest Hancock. To be a part of the show, call 602-264-2800.
Welcome back to Declare Your Independence with me, Ernest Hancock, here in Phoenix, Arizona. Quartzsite, okay? We're in Quartzsite in the BEA beautiful Freedoms Phoenix mobile studio, okay? We're trying everything out. We've been to Quartzsite before. We've done remotes at different, gathering locations and so on, and we've had... events and concerts. Jordan Page has been out. We've done other ones. We've come out and done the remote and, you know, a community room of a RV park. We got to hear all the stories, and it continues. So today, Jennifer Jones is going to court this morning Why? Why are you here again? You're ever not here?
Well, I know. It's starting to seem like my home away from home after 5 false arrests. The last one was a felony, but that was immediately vacated because, once again, no warrant, no witnesses, no probable cause, no nothing. So right now, they have refiled a zoning charge against me for vending without a permit, even though there was a vendor's permit that was valid hanging in the window of the grooming shop. So I'm
and
here
you
on
groom, yeah, so you have all these senior citizens out here with their RVs, and they're a little poodle dog, and you're the dog groomer for, you know, like 100,000 RVs.
Yeah, pretty much. With all the people here, there's 4 pet groomers in town, and there's days where that's just not enough to cover it. We have people that want to go down to Algodones and get their dental work done or go shopping in Yuma, and they need a place to babysit their dog for the afternoon, things like that. So it's a very needed service in the community, something I did for 8 years before I was ever on the radar, never had a complaint, never had a problem. And now they're trying to make life difficult for me to do what the community needs me to do.
Okay. You don't have a permit? Yeah, I do. It's right there. No, you don't. I just gave you a ticket.
Pretty much. I said, don't you want to, you know, don't you want to talk to the legal owner of the business? And they said, no, we were ordered to give you the ticket. Unfortunately, for everybody, the rather well-liked building inspector sort of code enforcement guy passed away on Halloween of a sudden heart attack. And so the last time this charge was dismissed with prejudice because Judge King said, we're not going to try this case with a dead witness. And I objected. I said, I want a chance to clear my name and get the facts on the record. I said, there's adequate video, audio, the badge cams are my video. And they said, nope, not going to happen. So right after he dismissed it with prejudice, the town refiled and just changed the date, and they refiled for a date before the code enforcement guy died. So apparently we will be trying this case with a dead witness.
So this is a refile of the same case, not another one?
Pretty much, yeah. They just changed the date that I was allegedly vending without a permit.
Why?
Well, I think what they've been trying to do, basically, is prevent me from making any money in their minds because they have to know that my newspaper doesn't break even, let alone and generate a profit. So if they, I'm sure their logic is that if they stop me from working to pay for the newspaper, they'll stop the newspaper. If they can shut me down, then the information I've been publishing, which is all true and very embarrassing for them, will all just go away and maybe we'll all just go away too.
Okay, so here we have a town that has targeted you. They make up whatever. They have a city prosecutor and attorney that's selling T-shirts defaming you on Cafe Press and then still wanting to prosecute you at the same time. You have, it goes on. And not, you have 80% of the entire law enforcement force says, you know, we don't want to be the strong arm of the corruption. And, you know, we're out of here because filing civil suits, all of a sudden here comes the insurance companies and risk management, and they're going, well, give us all the goodies. And everybody looked at each other and went, holy crap, we're in trouble now. But they weren't. The top guys go, God, you guys don't know how this works. We're protected, boy. We're made men. You know, it's like we got the, you know, got our back, guys in the violin cases, okay? So this is kind of where we get involved. We talked to you guys as this was going. I said, look, man, you have no idea what you're really up against. Are you starting to get it yet?
Oh, I get it. I'm just not sure that the guys on the street who are still waiting for the cavalry to come riding in, I'm not sure that they get
no
it.
No cavalry.
No cavalry. Cavalry's not coming.
No, we are the cavalry. This is it. That's
all
you
it.
Get.
That's right.
So I'm looking at an opportunity to have an understanding of what's happening. And as I get it, you know, it's really coming down to who can outlast the other. And they're in it for the long term. They'll never go away.
Neither will I.
Okay.
I mean, I've been told that comments like, I'm surprised you haven't been killed yet. I've been told comments like, I'm surprised they haven't made you an offer to go away yet. I know for a fact that offers have been made in the past for people to step down or not run for office, or threats have been made. People that don't want to go on the record but have gone off the record with me. And these are verifiable things, or I wouldn't bother.
Oh, no,
saying,
I'd be on a beat somewhere if I wanted to.
Yeah. But the reality is, you know, they can't afford what it would take to buy me off because I'm not in this for the money. I'm in this for, it's really a social experiment. I want the people of the United States to understand what their government does and doesn't do for them. The state of Arizona should be embarrassed. We have verified election fraud, and the Secretary of State's office apparently gave advice to the town on how to run our current election coming up in March. And the town clerk admitted to altering our election documents to prevent anyone from running against one of the candidates so that the opposition couldn't get a quorum and change the direction of the town. And the Secretary of State's office, election director Amy Chan, said, "It's not my problem. You'll all have to settle it on your own. Forget my advice started this mess." You know, the Attorney General, Tom Horn, said, "Oh, yeah, they broke open meetings law. Oh, yeah, here and there and on this and on that. But I'm just going to slap them on the hand and tell them they need training. I'm not going to convene a special grand jury or anything and see if anybody wants to indict them." The Ombudsman's Office said they withheld public records that should have been public, like whose names are on the payroll checks or something as simple as Councilman Lucas's building permit. I know he doesn't have to remodel his laundromat. So I took that report, which went on for months over the summer, and did what I was told, which is take it to our county prosecutor, and I filed felony secreting of public documents. And even though the state attorney general's office, ombudsman, had already said that they withheld public records, the county prosecutor just gave their report to the sheriff for review, and that was the last I heard of it. It's been about 2 months now. Everybody passes the buck, nobody does anything.
Yeah, see, this is, from my experience, this is it. You have somebody's accountable to somebody, and eventually it gets to the voter. But, you know, you have the county attorney's office, which is heavily involved in this thing. You finally get up to the attorney general's office going, and nothing is ever done unless there is constant, continuous public outcry and it becomes a political issue, even at a county or state level. There have been candidates running for county supervisor here in, now what county? Are you Mojave here or?
La Paz.
La Paz. So you have, there's people in Mojave. I know they've contacted me. Now, I would imagine that there is some La Paz county supervisor candidate, city council candidate, new mayor candidate, you know, coming in saying, "Oh, yeah, we're going to clean up." Well, that's what Ed Foster did, and they did a recall on him. Then he filed criminal action against him saying, "Hey, man, we got you." After they got him recalled, they go for criminal nonfeasance in office because he refused to preside over an illegal secret meeting. And they go, "No, no, 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 no." So now I'm asking, are there candidates here in the city and or county that are going to be doing something?
Well, people got angry. And when they said that Councilman Jewett, who was recently appointed to fill a position left vacant by the guy who ran against Ed for mayor, when they found out he was going to run unopposed, someone came out of retirement. They got so angry, and they're going to run as a riding candidate against him, this man, John Fruch. He was the town manager. He was the town building official, the planning and zoning director. He's long retired. They fired his daughter, who was the director of finance. And everything is just push come to shove. People are running. People are running for office. We have like 9 of us now running for the 2 open seats on council that they'll let us run up for. Ed's rerunning for mayor, and another woman, local person.
We know you're out there. We can feel you now. We know that you're afraid. You're afraid of us. You're afraid of change. We don't know the future. We aren't here to tell you how this is going to end. We're here to tell you how it's going to begin. We're going back to editing the next edition of Freedom's Phoenix Digital Magazine now, where we are telling the people what you don't want them to know. We're showing them a world without you, a world without rules and controls, without borders or boundaries, a world where anything is possible. Where we go from there is a choice we leave to you. Subscribe at freedomsphoenixeasy.com. That's freedoms with an S, phoenixeasing.com.
Freedom is the answer.
What's the question?
I want to break free.
You're listening to Ernest Hancock.
I want to break free.
Yeah, and I'm probably not the only one. There's a, we have one of the officers here that we're going to be able to talk to today, right?
They said they were going to try and come down. I got the message out last night, so we're going to see if one of them, at least one of them, can come over this morning. And
yeah, no, that'd be interesting to get kind of an update on that. Well, where are they at? They're in some kind of civil suit or something? What stage is that?
Well, originally they filed an injunction in Superior Court to halt their termination, and the town hired Justin Pierce, who ironically is a state legislator. And I asked Mr. Pierce at one of the personnel board hearings, I said, do you find it a conflict of interest to be appointed to a position where you represent all the people, and then you're here representing the town against the police officers? And he said he didn't find that a conflict at all. And I said, do you sleep well at night? And he said, absolutely. So they hired Justin Pierce, who works for a law firm that basically shuts down whistleblowers. They protect corporate interests. And he made a motion, and he moved it to federal court. Well, the injunction in Superior Court would have had to have been refiled in federal court. They were remanded to arbitration, and the judge didn't order them to, but he advised the town to keep the status quo. They didn't. They fired him. So then by the time they got to the arbitrating judge, there was nothing to arbitrate. So they're exhausting their due process by going before the town's personnel board for review. And one at a time, they've been going through that process. So once they're finished with that, they can then file their federal suit over their First Amendment right of free speech to complain about their boss's illegal activity.
Okay. Wow. I'm looking at the paper here. There's an ad for Ed Foster running for mayor. And it says, it's time to put Quartzsite under new management. Well, I thought he was new management for a while. They just didn't give him, took away all his powers, you're not allowed, and go away. So here we have, he said, I still care. Ed Foster for mayor. The current Quartzsite mayor and council don't care what you think about payroll checks or made out to unknown persons, attorney general rulings that the council broke the law, state ombudsman ruling on multiple open records violations, Gore Institute warning that ordinances are illegal, wrongful termination suits, civil rights suits, no more public comment, blah, 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 blah. We mean no more public comment. You don't have public comments anymore?
No, after they illegally removed me from the June 28th council meeting, the town held that secret locked door meeting where they declared an emergency. And in that meeting, they also took all public comment out of the town council meetings. And the items placed on the agenda are not up for public comment. So all you can do is basically sit and watch them destroy the town without saying anything at all. They had made some sort of erroneous statement that they were going to try and get a website up to where people could comment on the agenda, and that the agenda would be posted early enough that people could do that. Not only have they not been posting the agenda early enough, in some cases they haven't even been posting it with legal 24-hour notice, let alone giving the people any opportunity to comment on what's proposed. And they moved the meeting to 9 a.m. instead of 7 p.m. so that the majority of people in town who work cannot attend the council meetings. And they bought a really expensive metal detector, and the whole what's left of the police force basically stands at the door and searches you as you come through. But they don't use the metal detector for the court or any of the other meetings, just to protect the council.
Okay, so we're in a situation to where whatever republic or representative government that you have here in the city of Quartzsite has ruled themselves immune from just about any level of dissent. You're not even allowed to complain.
That's pretty much it in a nutshell.
That you got to be up next to the microphone. I'm going to start kicking you.
Okay, sorry.
I need to understand the issue. They are able to get away with the no public comment because they passed on it. There's no provision in there somewhere in the state or constitution or redress or grievance or something that people can go, seriously, you make the agenda and I am not allowed to even comment.
That's absolutely correct. Under the state open meetings law, There is no provision to allow public comment. The only provision is that you are allowed to attend a public meeting. But you can comment if and only if it is put on the agenda to allow you to comment. So they just voted themselves to take all that right on out of the agenda.
Wow. So who are the other – okay, how many – there are two seats up for the city council. Is that what you're saying?
There are 2 4-year terms and 1 2-year term that's going to be filled because of an appointment. And that's the term that the guy's running a writing campaign for. So there are 2 4-year terms
but
open at
the appointment where the guy kind of resigned to run for mayor?
Yeah.
Okay. So they have one of their boys. They do a recall on Mayor Foster because he's not playing their game. He goes to the – county, he goes to the state, he goes to the attorney general's office. He's just trying to, heck, man, I got employees that don't exist getting paid checks. What the heck? Does anybody care? Obviously not. Okay. So they do a recall on him. They bring in the boys and they have, here, hold on a second. We got to take this call. Hey, Mike.
Yes, sir.
Here, take this call. It's Bob telling you. Yeah, we got electrical problems here and I know the man that knows, so he's dealing with it. Now, so I am at a loss. People say to me, they go, Ernie, how can they? And they can't, and they shouldn't. I go, yeah, because they can't. Because they can't, because they can't, because they can't. Well, here in law, they can't. But they do anyway. Because they'll just do it and then delay it. How long it were, you know, rights delayed, rights denied. It doesn't matter. So I'm trying to wrap my mind around what is the concern of the people that live here, because they don't live here year-round. The vast majority of them are probably here now. So you're having an additional election that's coming up this next month, isn't it?
Yeah, March 13th, we're having the primary election for these council seats. It'll probably go to a runoff because it's unlikely that any of the council people will get 50% plus one vote with 9 people running for 2 4-year terms.
Okay, say that again.
Okay, we have 9 candidates running for 2 4-year term seats.
Okay.
And because of the number of people running, it will probably go to a runoff in May. However, with only 3 people running for mayor, we may have one candidate get 50% plus one. And in the runoff, in the 2-year term special election that shouldn't even be because of this election fraud issue, we have 2 candidates. So one of them, I'm sure, will end up victorious in that seat.
So let me go ahead and let's look at the mayor race. The guy is probably running for re-election, a guy that, you know, resigned as city council. He's not.
No.
He was just a whole placeholder for somebody.
Councilman Lucason, who spearheaded the recall of Mayor Foster by allegedly letting people do their laundry for free if they signed the recall petition, is now running for mayor.
Oh, isn't that the guy that said to arrest you even after you were recognized by the mayor to speak? Is that guy?
Well, they all said to arrest me. This is the same guy that hasn't been able to get caught up on his property taxes and has gone on the auction block and
okay.
and the other.
Yeah, whatever.
Yeah,
all right. So here we have one of the councilmen. Has he resigned to run for mayor?
Yes.
Okay, so he resigned. He's running for mayor. We have Ed Foster running for re-election again, running for mayor again. And then who's the third guy?
The third guy is a gal, a woman named Jenny Mills, who's been here for quite some time, has a pretty decent resume, is not really on one side or the other of the two competing teams, if you want to look at it that way. She basically says, I'm an independent person for anybody. If you don't like choice A or B, consider me. So she's in it, too, and she must have the incumbents pretty worried because they've already started trying to defame her.
What role does your newspaper play in all this?
Well, I hope it plays a role of balance in the dialogue. There was another free newspaper in town, or free community paper, because I wouldn't say they report much of the news. So I started reporting the news. And people get a kick out of reading both of them. They're both free. They read the other newspaper, and then they read mine because they want to know what the real story is. So I think in a little over a year, I've gone to the largest circulation in La Paz County in western Arizona. I also distribute in Blythe, California. Right now my paper is in Kingman and Oatman and Havasu and Parker and, I mean, the whole area. 20,000 copies, last couple editions. So I'm hoping that I'm at least initiating a dialogue and putting some information out there for people in the community to discuss, because when they voted before, they had no idea what was really going on. A year later, the fact that I'm still publishing, I haven't been sued for libel, I haven't told anybody anything but the truth, even when it was not attractive, people are starting to say, wait a minute, this Jones woman may not be as crazy as they said she was when this started. So I think I've changed some
minds. So when the people came back here from their winter in somewhere else, or summer in somewhere else, coming back here to winter, were they semi-informed a lot of stuff? Did they pay any attention, or did they just get blasted with it all at once?
Oh, no. I had more people come up to me and want to shake my hand and want to meet me and say, I saw Quartzsite on my local news in Oregon or in New York or in Kentucky or wherever the heck they were. This was all over the place.
Yeah, I remember when that video hit. We put on Freedom's Phoenix and boom!
Yeah.
Boom shakalaka boom! Well, we're covering it some more. We'll be right back in the second hour. Just
and now, live from the studios of Freedom's Phoenix, Ernest Hancock.
Believe me when I say we have a difficult time ahead of us. But if we are to be prepared for it, we must first shed our fear of it. I stand here without fear because I remember. I remember that I am here not because of the path that lies before me, but because of the path that lies behind me. I remember that for 100 years we have fought these machines. And after a century of war, I remember that which matters most. We are still here! Today, let us make them remember. We are not afraid!
No fear here on Declare Your Independence. I'm here in Hancock from the BEA, beautiful state of Arizona, in Quartzsite, in the Mobile Command Center. You know, we're mobile commanding, you know, ourselves. Here we go. Now, I am in the break. I was talking to Jennifer Jones here in Quartzsite that's just, you know, in her face. Now, we're broadcasting on FM 92.5. So if you're listening live here on the internet, you might want to just turn your FM radio. You got to get in the car, got to go to work. You know, just turn it to 92.5, and we're broadcasting saying, hello. You know, this is that's one of the things we wanted to test. We got it all hooked up and everything, so we're just having us some fun because we can. Hello. Now, what we're going to go ahead and do is I want to talk about election fraud. I warned them of this before, and I told them exactly how they were going to do it and how they're doing it, all the different ways. So they at least were, you know, kind of diligent in looking at different things, and they come out with this. They start to do press releases. All of a sudden, the Arizona Republic, Dennis Wagner, been there, said, I've been working with him since early 90s. Now, Dennis Wagner, we got issues. Let me tell you. You know, if he's getting in this, he's going to spin it for the man. I mean, that's just the way it is. He'll, we're going to, you know, downtrodden the people and we'll kind of whatever. Go away, nothing to see here. So he contacted you after you had done this and you sent this out. And, the Arizona Republic, Dennis Wagner's going to come save y'all. Well, tell me what he had to say.
Well, he wanted an update. He had come out after the original video went viral, came to one of our council meetings, and did a couple of stories on Quartzsite that are archived on their website. And so he wanted to do a follow-up, and I tried to get him up to speed as quickly as I could. And his comment to me was, you know, for a small town, you people certainly have a lot of news going on. And I responded to him, yeah, you should try living in it because, I mean, literally, it's amazing. I've never seen so much happen in such a small town. I thought when I started the newspaper, I'd run out of things to report, or maybe I'd shame them into behaving better, but instead they just behave worse and worse.
No. Let me tell you, it's like going to the, I remember years ago, you had all these IRS agents were starting to actually question, you know, whether the law was there. You know, you got Joe Bannister and Sherry Jackson, different people said, you know, the law doesn't really say that. So as these cases were coming up and people start stopping filing income tax, all that, they finally get the IRS commissioner, a new guy comes up before the microphone in L.A., and he stands there, and they go, well, how are you addressing this? What do you got to say about this? Oh, we'll address this with enforcement. That's what he said. It wasn't, you know, we're right or the law says or anything. No, when you got a gun in your face, guess who's right? They're going to replace any kind of legal argument with enforcement. IRS agents now are armed. Joe Bannister was one of those individuals. He took his oath of the Constitution seriously. He said, I'm not playing. He speaks all over the country saying, man, they're messed up like polio. So this is what's going to happen. Here in Quartzsite, I am, you know, I'm not the activist. I'm, you know, hey, you know, I've been through this before in other small communities. Apache Junction, the east of Phoenix. Have Florence, you know, southeast of Phoenix metropolitan area. Wickenburg, Cave Creek, Carefree, Anthem, Black Canyon City. It's all these small communities that they just have overlaid on them the interest of some developer, somebody wants something pushpin is in on the map, and they here it comes. So now we're in a situation here in Quartzsite that we can learn by example. Now, you're running for some position or something, aren't you?
I'm running for town council.
Okay, which is a district, it's a four-year term?
It's a four-year term. We don't have districts here. It's a town of 3,600 people. So.
Oh, so it's an at-large for everybody. So it's just top vote getters.
Free for all. It's a free for all.
Which I bet they want to change.
Well, they want us to be a city. So, you know, we're teetering on the cusp of the eligibility to do that. And, of course, that means more grants, more rules, more stuff that I don't think we need.
Okay, now that everybody moved out here in the middle of the desert in Quartzsite so they can have a sidewalk, okay? Not. So this is what you do is I'll explain it to you so people understand. When you incorporate as a municipality, you know, some benefits and immunities come with that. I'm sorry, you need to know it's 812. So what they do is they said, well, here it is. What they do is they say, you know, if we incorporate, well, then we won't get annexed by Big Town, De La, whatever. Well, there's no Big Town, De La, whatever around here, so that's not a concern. Well, then they got to go, well, you know, it's because of something. We need to have a town, a city, a corporation because of something. That's water. Water. If we don't do it, because water, we'll all die. We're all going to die. Oh, we have all these RVs out here. We got to have some kind of enforcement to make sure they're just not dumping out in the middle of the desert their sewage and waste, which the sun just baked that, so don't worry about it. Anyway, so they say, you know, that sounds like a business opportunity to me. You know, somebody, you know, Fred's gasoline station, daylight, come over here and dump it, you know, and $5. So what? They always use fear to create this justification to create some kind of we rule you. The second they do that, the first thing they want to do is they want to issue tickets. Here comes the law enforcement. They have a bunch of guys out there writing tickets and parking tickets. You can't do this ticket. Then we need a vending license. Oh, you thought you could just be free and put up your awning on your RV and sell your widgets and trinkets and trash. Nope, not allowed. Guy, we get our cut. Oh, then we need, you know, city sales tax. Now we get our cut of that, and you need to start filing and getting all kinds of good. Where's your permit? Then they start going, you know what? Because now we're a municipality, we can mandate that people go on a city sewer system, a city water system, a city municipality. You know, you got to get on because that qualifies you for a bunch of other stuff. Now you have RV parks that are here, and they said, you know what? People that lived out here and fixed incomes for almost nothing since back in the day for decades, all of a sudden their $30 water bill is $150. So that meeting that you had that you were speaking at, there were 100 and 200 and whatever people there because of that very first bill they got when they upped it and they said, whoa, 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 what the heck? I mean, am I close?
Oh, yeah. We've been fighting with the town. They passed a per fixture rate so that the RV parks pay by how many spigots they have, no matter whether anybody's using them or not.
When 7 months out of the year, nobody's there.
That's right. So we don't pay by the gallon except for Councilperson Kelly. And I say councilperson because Councilman Kelly passed away New Year's Eve and was immediately appointed to be replaced by his wife, Councilwoman Kelly. But they run a subdivision where they get water by the gallon because they got a special contract with the town. The rest of us, everybody's paying by the fixture or by the chair in the restaurant or by the sink in the beauty salon, whether anybody's using it or not.
Because they can. Okay, because they can. Now, the next phase is that if you get a percentage of your population to where they're on the municipal water supply, so they can all be fluoridated, you know, or whatever, you qualify for other grants. You get other, you know, lower interest rates on your building your apartment, you're developing a business park, de la, whatever. You want to be one of the big boys. You want to be on the list. You want to be, you know, able to suck on the tit, you know, with all the goodies from the man. Well, you got to meet all these qualifications, and they are more than willing to do it. Because they say, you know, we do this, we get that free money. It's free money. You know, and of course, it took a 45 to somebody's forehead to take it from them. But to us, it's free money, okay? And then they'll go into debt. Now, a lot of times here, there's a highway funds because you're on a highway here. There's some kind of sharing there. And they'll borrow against that. And all of a sudden, you're tens of millions of dollars behind on that. And we got to, well, how are we going to pay that off? Well, we just haven't let them raise some taxes. This is how you become a debt slave. That's why we focus on Quartzsite. Because the people doing this, you can count them on, you know, both your hands. You go, this guy, this guy, this guy, this guy. Oh, by the way, how are they have a conflict of interest? Because this, they make this, they do that. I mean, you want to drill in on these small towns because they're perfect neon flashing examples of what's happening globally. We'll be right back.
This is Charles Goyette, author of the New York Times bestseller, The Dollar Meltdown, so you can learn how to protect yourself and your family. Now, you can audit the Fed. You can end the Fed. But why not start by ignoring the Fed? Visit DontTreadOnMeme.com. That's Don't Tread on M-E-M-E, Fashioning the Silver Economy. A meme, a contagious idea that spreads within a culture, a spontaneous order. Nowhere is this more evident than in one's free choice in that most marketable of commodities, money. Let us Austrians use wallet voting. Don't Tread on Meme, the leading craftsman of silver dime trading cards, as well as some offbeat liberty-themed apparel. Follow the history of the dime card outreach at onceuponadime.info and get a silver calculator app at whatisthiscoinworth.info. Boycott an empire of theft. Build a society of consent. Don't Tread on Meme. To be a part of the show, call 602-264-2800. 602-264-2800. And now, Ernest Hancock.
Hello, hello, hello. Yeah, we're going to, next hours, we're getting all our computers up, run, do the music and everything, but we're not taking phone calls today because I'm in Quartzsite. That's the way it is. Now, what we're going to go ahead and do, I want to understand the role that the state media here has. Now, the international media got involved in this thing. We had, I mean, I was getting calls from people in London. You know, this was, you know, Australia, New Zealand, I mean, English-speaking world, they were all over this. Because the real question was, I mean, it was on talk radio all over, you were a busy girl. Now, what happened is that they had a perfect example of you're not allowed to talk. The unique situation was is that you had the mayor recognize you, come up, say your piece. City council, some of the members knew, and of course the local law enforcement knew what you had to say. They did not want the people, especially whether it's a packed house, they're complaining about other stuff, wanting to know what the heck was going on, and you were explaining it to them, and they go, oh, hell no. No, you're so not allowed. Now, you're talking about, you know, start doing a podcast here. We can help with that and show you where to go and how to do it and push the button. You can also do FM transmission, which we're doing right now all over the entire city of Quartzsite. You know, you get just enough power that it's legal. Pirate radio. It's not even pirate. It's unlicensed because it's under a certain power wattage. You have a small community here. You go a few miles, and you have a radius of, you know, from 6 miles from one end to the other, and that covers Quartzsite. You know, hundreds of thousands of people sometimes, and you guys peek out here and say, let me tell you what's going on. And then they're going to say, no. No, we're out in the front. We're broadcasting right now. I'm looking at the man. There's the judge walking in, counsel and police. Hello. I tell you, we keep doing this. He'll come out and say, no, 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 no. You're still not allowed. We're just demonstrating and showing you how you can. Now, let's go ahead and focus on Dennis Wagner from the Arizona Republic. Now, he's coming out. He said, yeah, we need to follow up on this. Oh, what do you think he's going to do? Who is he going to talk to? What's he going to say?
Well, my indication to him was, since he's also reports for USA Today and has a little more journalistic clout than I do, I said, hey, Dennis, why don't you try calling Detective Pete White and Director Halliday at DPS Major Crimes and ask them why this is taking 9 months, why we've heard nothing back. There's two separate investigations, one into the complaints the police officers made and one into the complaint that Mayor Foster made about them removing me from the meeting, which is real cut and dry since the AG already investigated and ruled on it, yet nothing. I said, maybe you can call the Secretary of State's office and find out why their job is to certify the elections, and they don't care about election fraud before the election. Maybe you can get some answers, Dennis. So.
Okay, well, he's not. All right, so but let's go ahead and keep on his butt, because let me tell you what happened. I was talking to legislators, and if, you know, while all this was going on, we were, you know, making our own calls. The answer that I got, and see if you got something like this, went like this. Yeah, well, Quartzite's got to get in line of corrupt cities. They were like, I'm sorry, we got, you know, this long line. And the only way that it's going to get more attention is if we, you know, keep it in the news. Because that's all they respond to.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, I encourage everyone to call DPS and ask Director Halliday, what the heck's going on?
Department of Public Safety. It's like Arizona's Highway Patrol.
And the contact information is on my website, which is thedesertfreedompress.blogspot.com. In the right-hand column, there's contact information for the governor.
Okay, give that out slower so people know. You can go check out the chronology of this whole story. Heck, you can go on Freedom's Phoenix Archive and do a search for Quartzite. You go Quartzite, Arizona, Freedom's Phoenix, and boom, all damn. There'll be plenty of chronology there. Now, go ahead and give out your website for your newspaper.
It's thedesertfreedompress.blogspot.com. It's a Google blog. And one of my writers has created a website, aview.info, where he's archived all the back issues. And he's been scanning in a lot of the court documents and a lot of the other information that backs up what's going on here. So it's not
who's
just
behind these guys. How are they able to keep continuing? Because this is the one thing that I think you guys are surprised at and what I told you was going to happen. I'll go, no matter how much international attention you get on these guys, the head chief guy and the head, you know, city prosecutor, the county prosecutor, they're all going to thumb their nose at you and go, yeah, we're made men and there's nothing you can do about it. Is that exactly what happened?
It sure looks like it.
And I'm like, the shock is what? I mean, you know, why? I understand what we're up against. It's a faceless, unlimited resource. Quartzite's got a pushpin in it, and these guys do. Now, what I keep encouraging, you want to get a good beat on what's really going on, I continuously, constantly, admonishingly tell you guys to go check who's got the leases on this BLM land and so on, and I bet you haven't done it yet, have you?
Well, actually, this whole BLM issue is coming up this winter, kind of interestingly. Of course, the Quartzite police have an intergovernmental agreement to go on the BLM land, and there's been some recent arrests which may make some other headlines. A couple of Vietnam veterans, a Korean War veteran, were arrested for medical marijuana, and the state refused to pick up the charge because there was no warrant and no complaint. So now that's going to state court, and they're looking at challenging the deal with Arizona's medical marijuana law. And some miners I've talked to are having some issues with the BLM and the bat conservation people, saying, we don't care about your mining lease. We're just going to come along and put bat bars and bat cupolas up over your entrance so you can't get to your mineral rights.
Bat bars? What's that?
Well, apparently the Townsend's big-eared bat occasionally likes to come and mate here or something, hibernate here. I don't know. It's a seasonal thing. On the East Coast, the bats are suffering from a fungus, which destroys the thin membrane of their wings. So the bats are dying off in the East Coast, but it's not out here on the West Coast yet. They're not endangered, but the bat conservation people are working with the BLM. The BLM is spending your money to put up $50,000 bars across the entrances to mines that have got current mineral rights and that are being leased out through the state and the federal government here.
Because they can.
Because they can.
We love Mother Earth and you're not allowed. Okay. All right. So now we have the law enforcement are just, you know, running rampant. And is there a rising up of the people? I mean, do we have people that have come here that are going to be, are they eligible to vote in this March election now that you have the volume of the people that have come back to Quartzite where they winter? Anyway, are they able to participate in the election process?
You are eligible to vote in this election if you declare that you're a resident of Quartzite and you have an Arizona driver's license or ID card. The deadline to register for this town council election, I believe, is the 12th or 13th of this month, so you got a few days left. And the easiest way to do it is to go to the Motor Vehicle Department in Parker, apply for an Arizona ID card, and check the box that says, I want to be a registered voter. You do, I mean, there's some specific things that you have to be a resident, but you're basically a resident when you say, you know what, I think I live here now. I mean, you don't have to be a resident for a specific number of days or something like that. You've been here for a couple of weeks, and you like Quartzsite, and you think you want to stay, or at least you want to stay until you see who wins the election. If you decide to leave because the incumbents are in, nobody could blame you. But you can register to vote. There's a few days left. We actually have a very high voter turnout here. The last recall election, we had a 54% voter turnout, which is extremely high considering apathy nationwide. But it's just because the town is so invested in all of this, and we'll see where it goes this time.
And we'll keep our finger in it just to make sure we know what's going on. Why? Because it's just a mirror of everything else. And you get to see how it's dissected here on Declare Your Independence. We'll be right back.
It's time for Declare Your Independence with Ernest Hancock.
Here on Declare Your Independence of me, Ernest Hancock, each and every day on, I don't know, it's Freedom's Phoenix kind of studio mobile court site. We're out in the Lone Prairie thing, because we can. You know, I want to make sure that we get, a wide decision, a wide view of what's going on here. Now, we have coming up Nicola Dula. She's one of the activists from, the Porcupine State, and travel around the country with Ethan and having a good time, get to America, and as she come to visit her father here in Quartzsite, man, she got a full dose of the man. And we're like, but in the process, they took all her silver coins. Now, they were silver dimes that were pre-64 and earlier that have a value right now of about $2.50 each. And then you have and the quarter, that was like $5. So she's like, hey, man, I want my property, but I've been here a couple hours. You're letting me go give me. They go, no. We gave you a check for $1.75. Here's your check. She goes, no, I want my silver back. No, get back in the hole. Get in the hole. Oh, so she's upset. She's crying. She doesn't understand that she's dealing with Quartzsite. So when she gets out and we find out, you know what? It's one of Arn. It's time to go to Quartzsite again. It's February 8th. Hello. Now, we have another gentleman in here. Now, there's another gentleman. Mike Roth is a landowner out here. It's just been, targeted by the man. And this was interesting. You may remember this made national news also. Mike, said this guy's such a turd, or you're a turd, or whatever. I mean, actually used the word turd, okay? So this city councilman made the comment that since he was a former Vietnam vet and not quite stable, okay? I mean, I got post-traumatic PTSD. I'm not feeling quite right and everything. I don't know if he comes up and gets in my face, I might harm him. So for his own good and my own good, you need to make sure that he's disarmed. I'm like, wait a minute. We didn't even follow the logic on that. The whole purpose of the Second Amendment is defend against a tyrannical government. So here's a tyrannical governmentee saying, you know what? I'm crazy. I'm so crazy that I just might go crazy on this guy here, and he might be armed and I go crazier, so we need to disarm him because I'm crazy. And I'm like, are you freaking kidding me? I mean, seriously, you can't make this stuff up. So they do a order of protection or something against him. Here comes the local gendarme to disarm him. Take his guns away because this city councilman's crazy. Heck, that's why you have him. So I'm just going, All right. That's how they roll. Now, this gentleman, he knows more about. He has a personal experiences with this. He's going, man, you gotta go after him. You gotta file. You gotta be assertive, because if you let this stand, you're just gonna be. So let's go ahead and introduce yourself for the audience.
My name is Mike Palmer, and when
I can hear you go,
okay. When I heard Michael Ross' story, I called up Michael and I said, Michael, I've been through this before. There is no law in Arizona, civil injunction law, that allows the courts to take away your weapons in a civil injunction. He said, you've got to sue the justice of the Arizona Supreme Court. Well, there was so much light on Michael's case from the news reporting and due to Ernie that Judge Slaughter vacated her own order a couple of weeks later. So Michael had no standing to bring a case. But a couple months after that, I was served with a civil injunction for running a Christian blog. Some lady lived in Prescott, Arizona, and I'm in Phoenix, so 2 hours away by car, complained about my blog, got a civil injunction.
Okay, what was the complaint? You're advocating you're bad because of what?
There's a long story behind that we need not really go into, but it was a site called thatwomanjezebel.blogspot.com, and it was about a divorced lady that I had known for a long time, and I wanted to warn other Christians about discerning between good and evil. And she didn't like that, and so she filed a complaint got a civil injunction against harassment. And as a result, my Second Amendment right was also revoked.
Okay, now this is a standard operating procedure. If somebody can get a, if they can get a order of protection or some kind of anything, domestic violence, they just by filing, is that put your Second Amendment at risk?
Well, that's correct. Well, there are a couple of things here that I want to clarify, and I don't want to get too technical and bore everyone to death. But what the courts have done is exactly what you just did. There is criminal domestic violence law, and that's where they can take away your guns by law, by statute. There's a civil injunction, which is completely different. It's under Title 12 in the Arizona Revised Statutes. So they're two different animals, but the courts and people just in general lump them all together, and they call them protective orders or restraining orders, and they're not the same.
But they use that as a justification to take your guns.
They just lump them together, and they use
them. Okay, so this woman did this, and you were residing where, in Phoenix?
I'm in Phoenix. She's in Prescott.
So this was, with this information, you come here to Courtside to say, Mike, hey, I went through this. Make sure you, since he didn't have standing, they took that, so he didn't have something to do, but you filed.
I filed.
Filed where?
Okay, so I've been through this before. This same lady a couple years ago did this. I fought it in court. I showed the judge that civil injunction law in Arizona doesn't allow to take away your weapons. She said, yeah, you're right. She rescinded her order. Okay. Then I found where the problem was with the Arizona Supreme Court, and I petitioned the Arizona Supreme Court in their public forum 2 years ago. I said, look, there is no law in Arizona allowing you to do this. You've got to repeal. It's an internal court rule that they made up that they use to take away your weapons. That's not law. I said, here's what the law says. You're not abiding by the law. They said, well, you make some good arguments. We're going to send it off to some subcommittee. They never repealed their internal rule. So when it happened to me again, I said, enough. I've been through court. I've petitioned the justices. I'm going federal. So I've sued the justices of the Arizona Supreme Court in federal court. The case is Palmer versus Jones et al., and I listed the justices of the Arizona Supreme Court as defendants. Where we are right now, and the federal court, this is a case of first impression. The federal court doesn't want to touch this. They tried to abstain. Not that. Nope, can't abstain. The first judge happened to be a former Arizona Court of Appeals judge who knows all the defendants on site. And he should have recused himself from the beginning. I finally forced him off the case. The second judge, like a day later, said dismissed. And just a footnote, judges are immune from prosecution. No.
FYI.
they're not immune from prosecution when you're only looking for declaratory and injunctive relief. I'm not seeking monetary damages. I just want the Arizona Supreme Court justices to obey the law the legislature gave them. So we have a bunch of different issues here. We've got an Article 3.
Stay next to the microphone.
We have an Article 3 distribution of powers. Basically, the judges are literally legislating from the bench. They made up their own law in an internal rule. So where we are right now, the second federal judge doesn't want to have anything to do with this. He just said, you can't sue judges. They've got immunity, dismissed. We're in the Ninth Circuit right now. I just filed a show cause why the case shouldn't be dismissed. We're waiting on Tom Horn to file his response back. And that's another element.
Tom Horn is the attorney general here in Arizona.
Tom Horn is the attorney general. I moved for him to disqualify himself for a number of different reasons.
Because he's Tom Horn.
He is the chief legal officer of the state of Arizona. He is an elected official. He is as much my lawyer as he is a lawyer for the justices, defendants.
Yeah, maybe in junior high civics class. Okay. I just want to make sure you dispelled that myth right there.
I want to call him as an expert witness. I want to say, Mr. Horn, the law doesn't have the word firearm or weapons in it, and yet the Supreme Court justices have taken away my firearms. What is your take as the chief legal officer of Arizona on this? And there are other issues. Again, this is an Article 3 enumerated powers problem, the distribution of powers.
They don't care.
Tom Horn.
All right, music. You're going to push the button. We have to wait till we come back. Yeah, you can see they're animated. You know, that's all that right stuff. Talk about more when we come back here on Declare Your Independence of Me, Ernest Hancock.
Uncovering the secrets and exposing the lies. That's what the readers of FreedomsPhoenix.com get every day. FreedomsPhoenix.com constantly providing the information, the real news about government policies, and the real relationship we all have with the coercive government. The real condition of the economy, innovations in technology, breakthroughs in energy, health, and computer science. Learn the truth well before it's admitted to in the lamestream media. The corporate media, nothing more than distributors of government propaganda. But now there's an alternative. FreedomsPhoenix.com. Constant news updates on the issues that affect your life in the most important ways. With liberty and property under constant attack, FreedomsPhoenix.com provides the understanding behind the propaganda, and it encourages the participation of its readers. Go to FreedomsPhoenix.com. That's Freedoms with an S, Phoenix.com. FreedomsPhoenix.com. The revolution between the ears has already happened. Freedom's the answer. What's the question? You're listening to Ernest Hancock.
Yeah, we're back in the saddle again here on Declare Your Independence. Me, Ernest Hancock, here at Courtside, Arizona. Hey, this is... You know, we're having some fun. We're trying to learn how to make sure that we're, penetrating into the matrix, give them what fur. Well, who's helping me with this is Michael Connor. Now, Michael Connor's been a audio tech uber geek, you know, since forever here in the Valley of the Sun, well, in Phoenix area. And he's been a big help in setting up all our boards and all that stuff. And he wanted to come out. He's going, Ernie, you know, not a problem. I'll be at your house at 4:00 in the morning. You know, be ready. Well, I was semi-ready. So we get all ready, and we come out here, and, you know, had the ride go, man. You know, this thing seems like it's doing all right.
It is. Yeah, I like it.
You know, it's weird. We still got it. I tell you, we got to have this power thing. You know, I thought we had more inverter power, and it's when you got plugged, kind of whatever, and we should, and we got the battery back up and everything, but we should have brought a generator. And I didn't bring the generator because I knew we'd be out here in the middle in front of the court, and they wouldn't like that.
We need a Jenny, yeah.
You know, but what I'd really like to do is set up more battery backup with solar panels on the top and everything, and Bob Anderson's going to help me with that because that's, you know, he's the uber geek when it comes down to that. Now, what we've done is we have purchased a bunch of FM transmitter cases and so on. We're all ready to do this. But the one thing that we wanted to test was to see how far the FM transmitter did here. Now, what they did is they went around on their blogs and so on and said, 92.5 FM. Go ahead and listen here, Quartzsite. Yeah, we're going to have a Quartzsite radio. So we put this on. People are in their cars all around here, out of the trailer parks and so on, on the online. Listen, you know, got it. You know, you tune in 92.5, it's Quartzsite radio.
Around the air.
You know, so they're going. Yeah, that's one thing. Mike comes in, he goes, hey, man, on these radios out in the cars and everything, when you guys are talking off air, it's transmitting. I go, oh, yeah, that's right. It's not kicking it from the network. It's taking it straight from the thing. So we're sitting here yakking, you know, a little behind-the-scenes stuff. They're going, shh. Yeah, good point. Good point. So this is, have you done, I mean, you do a lot of remotes for the stations and so on.
I do, yeah.
Have you had, did any of them have their own transmitting capacity?
No. This is the first. I like this. This is cool. This is very cool. 92.5.
You're a radio guy. Get up close to the radio.
92.5. We're on the air, baby. 92.5.
Yeah, you probably recognize Michael Connor's voice from some of our commercials. Yeah. And you've narrated some movies and stuff, too. So this is a new one for us. We wanted to test this, make sure we got the RV up and running. And I took it into the shop to get the muffler changed. They said, you know what? Your 8-cylinder is a 6-cylinder. You probably should plug in those two back plug wires. And I go, yeah, that'd be a good idea. You have permission. $20, plug them in. Boom, done. There, fixed.
We need shore power.
So it's running really well. It was donated to us for like nothing. And we spent $750 on good quality paint. We had a bunch of activists come out and prep it. We primed it with two-part epoxy. We put a nice, you know, two-part heavy clear coat kind of paint on it. It's holding up really well. We got new awning on it. You know, the inside we haven't done yet, but pretty much everything's working. So we're ready to go. I think I may take the RV on a cross-country tour late May through June, going to Pork Fest across the northern United States. I want to go to Montana and meet with Chuck Baldwin, the Flathead Valley up there, just say I did, and see how party it is up there. We'll make our way across northern United States. We'll stop in Chicago, say, yo, what's up, Gary Franchi at realityreport.tv. Then we'll go to, I want to get to Virginia. You know, we may make that one of the first stops, and because we want to help Karen Kwiatkowski in her congressional race, because I can, and I want her to, you know, make sure she gets to have her expressions. You know, she gets to express herself to the voters and so on. So we'll see what we can do there. Then we'll be in Pork Fest and having a good time showing off the RV. And I'm glad this is working out well. Of course, here it's not 120 degrees now, so that makes a difference. Here it's probably, I don't know, 60 out there or something like that, you know, so we're doing pretty nice. And you have a bus that you've been, big bus that you've been refurbing. You're going to put a stage on top of it, man. It's rock and roll and whatnot. Tell us
you
about
bet.
That.
Oh, it's an MCI bus, MC9. It's 40 feet long, 8 feet wide. Going to have a big top on the thing where you can actually broadcast from the top of the bus. That's going to have a TMD mast, Wilbert mast on the back. You can go up 80 feet, and we'll put our antenna for our radio station on the back of that and go up. We can broadcast from inside the bus, if it's raining outside. So it's going to be a hot little item. It really is. Plus, it's got 12,000-volt generator, or 12,000-watt generator on board. This can be a hot little item.
Oh, see, you're jacking into the matrix. Jacking it. Yeah, we should name this thing the Nebuchadnezzar.
That's cool. That's very cool. I get it first.
You know, this is so we're enjoying ourselves, you know, being able to let everybody express themselves here. When we come at the next hour, I know it's starting to get the crowd. You know, everybody's coming. They want to come see the show. And there, you know, I want to talk. Too late. Next, because we got Nicole Adula coming on in the next hour. We want to make sure that she gets to have her say. And then here comes the police cars. And here comes the police cars. You know, want to come on the radio?
Well, you know, I've got a vested interest in this because I was a Chicago police officer, as you know.
Uh-huh.
And I lost a darn good job because of corruption. And each time I can help swing the spotlight in the way of the bad guys, I'm going to help do it.
Wasn't that why you left Chicago? I mean,
yes.
You don't take the money, man. You're going to take a dirt nap.
You either subscribe to it or you get out, and I got out.
You take the dirty money or you take the dirt nap, one or the other.
That's it.
And they made that pretty clear, did they not?
Yeah, they did.
So, you know, this is, you know, we're all in this together everywhere. It's the same thing. So what do we do? I mean, you know, a lot of times, you know, I tell them the story, you know, Mike didn't know all the intrigue here over the years. So I'm telling him by the time we got here, he's like, I'm not sure I wanted to come. Holy crap. So, you know, it gets so bad. But does this surprise you? I mean, you've been in radio a long time. This is kind of, you're bored up in engineering and all the talk shows, people calling in. This is stuff all day, every day.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm glad I'm with you with it right now, and I'm a part of it because life has to have meaning, and my life has got new meaning now.
What's that? Bad guys need to be outed?
Yep.
Well, you know, Mike's always been a big help. You know, he's always been a big contributor to us being able to jack into the matrix. If it wasn't for Mike, our studio wouldn't have got done, certainly not for as little as it did. I mean, he wasn't free, but he was damn near. You know, because it's, I mean, beautiful, beautiful setup. And yeah, Mike's the one that got us the board from a Clear Channel station.
Oh, Clear Channel.
Yeah, we can tell him that. You know, na-na-na-na-na.
Well, it started out as a little Mackie mixer, and you said, want to add a Gettner, want to get phone calls and everything else. I said, well, you got to get a Pro Board because you need the mixed mind assist and everything else. That's what you want with a Pro Board.
Yeah, it's a one of the big ass pro boards. I mean, yeah. This is it was in a clear channel station. What did they use? Why did they? Were they just upgraded?
Upgraded, whatever.
So this thing, it needed some refurb. It needed some little whatever. But Mike's the guy. He's the guy they call to do this. He goes, yeah, if I get this, how much do we pay for that thing? $500
$500 Yeah, it was cheap.
And how much are those things new?
$15,000-$20,000
$15,000-$20,000 I got $500 So we put that bad boy in, got it all set up, and said, yeah, we own. Well, I don't think there's any equipment we're missing in our studio.
No. Not as pretty as I'd like it to be, but it works. It works great.
No, there's wires everywhere.
Oh, yeah.
Especially when they started adding all this video and our recording
and all that. Yeah.
We got to tap into all this stuff on the board and send it over there with wires. It's wires. So we're we're hooked up. Now we want to take it mobile. Well, fortunately there's equipment for that too. And we're sitting, I am immersed in wires on this table. It's a little eating table they have here in the back of the RV. We're building up a studio where we'll incorporate a lot of this is in units. But we pretty much have everything in cases, so we know we take this case, this microphone, this stand, we're done.
On the road.
Yeah, on the road. We're done. Go. Boom, shakalaka. So here we have where we could do interviews, we can pump in music, we can do just about anything. We need more power. Power is a good thing.
That's all right.
But we got it hooked up and we're transmitting. Well, in the next hour, they're going to have a new piece of information. A lot of these people, they got all kinds of corruption and they got their problems. But, this is also an impact on people just visiting. Nicole Odula, she's out there, that young lady that's out there, and she just come and visit, and she got a dose. She's like, damn, David. I go, oh, Courtside? I'm sorry. You should have told us you're going to Courtside. We would have made sure you understood. You just didn't know. It's kind of like it's kind of like First Blood with Sylvester Stallone, Move along. You're not allowed to stop. Yeah, I saw you smell a flower. You're not allowed. Well, when we come back after the top of the hour news, we're going to have Nicole Odula on. She's come back to Courtside after traveling across the country, to come back so she can answer her criminal charge of, not licking the boot, with enough saliva. You didn't tongue the ring when you kissed it. You think I'm kidding? I mean, you got it. Oh, you got a gravel jug. Oh. Now, we had 8 of the 10 officers that just, we're done. 2 of them came back. We'll talk about maybe, what kind of people they are. But the 8, they're in civil suit, man, saying, look, man, we're terminated because we didn't want to violate people's constitutional rights, which is being done on a regular basis. They admit to, doesn't matter. So the cops that are left, how are they? We'll see how they treated a young lady that presented no threat. We'll talk about it when we come back here on
Uncovering the Secrets and Exposing the Lies. That's what readers of FreedomsPhoenix.com get every day. Readers of FreedomsPhoenix.com are constantly provided the information that detail the real news between the lines of propaganda about government policies and the true relationship we all have with coercive governments. Learn the true condition of our economy, innovations and technological breakthroughs in energy, health, computer science, and space travel. Learn the truth well before it's admitted to in the lamestream media, the media that is so last century. Corporate media has evolved into nothing more than distributors of government propaganda, but we now have a fantastic alternative. FreedomsPhoenix.com provides constant news updates on the issues that affect our lives in the most important ways. Our liberty and our property are under constant attack, and FreedomsPhoenix.com provides the understanding behind the propaganda while encouraging the participation of our readers. Join us at FreedomsPhoenix.com. That's Freedoms with an S, Phoenix.com. FreedomsPhoenix.com, where the revolution between the ears has already matured.
And now, live from the studios of Freedom's Phoenix, Ernest Hancock.
Believe me when I say we have a difficult time ahead of us. But if we are to be prepared for it, we must first shed our fear of it. I stand here without fear because I remember that I am here not because of the path that lies before me, but because of the path that lies behind me. I remember that for 100 years we have fought these machines. And after a century of war, I remember that which matters most. We are still here! Today, let us make them remember. We are not afraid!
declare your independence from here in Hancock from Courtside, Arizona, where we are remotely broadcasted from in front of the courthouse here and in front of the town hall, in front of the police station, in front of the, you know, the center of the universe for Courtside. You know, this is where all demands are. This is probably where you were incarcerated, was it not?
No, actually, I was taken all the way to Park, Arizona, about 45 minutes away. There's no jail in this city.
Really? Well, they got some kind of something. All right. We're going to get the whole story. All right. I did not know. Okay, now let's go ahead and talk about this. Nicola Dula is here for a trial, you know, something, because she came. I met her father here, nice guy. He's, winners here in Courtside. Daughter comes by and says, yo, what's up, and gets arrested. Well, let's find out why. Now, you're traveling the country. You came by to visit your father, and you said, you know what? There's a lot of people out here. I'm gonna hawk my wares. You know, tell me everything that happened.
All right. Well, I started out the day by trying to sell a few things, try to find a buyer with one of the vendors that's here. I didn't find anybody who is buying. I heard a lot of people saying that, you know, the economy is hit hard, and even more people mentioned that the town is now requiring permits to vend, and that was hitting them a little bit harder because, you know, they have to spend money before they can even make money. So one of the people who was trying to buy a permit, I said, hey, you made these really awesome glasses. My friend has some lenses. Can you make some glasses for us? And they were like, sure, you know, we need $20 to get our permit. And
$20 to get a permit.
$20 to
so
get a
like,
permit.
Like, hey, you know, my friend, it was Ethan.
It was Ethan.
Oh, I
Ethan
saw those. Ethan, it was curled copper wire around the lenses. Mm-hmm. It was beautiful.
They were beautiful. The guy that made them was wearing a pair, and we said, wow, I really want one of those, but I didn't have $20. So I tried to find quite a few people to buy some things. I actually found one person who bought a couple of wallets from me. After that, I'd only had $10, so I needed 10 more. I said, hey, you know what? I know if I go fly this sign that I've got, it says traveling broke hungry, I'll get some money or some food or whatever. Do it all the time, you know, whenever there's not, say, a dumpster to get food from or, you know, whatever. You know, So
you're one of them. You're a traveling, I live off the land,
yep.
Urban, urchin kind of whatever.
Sometimes,
okay.
Yeah.
Nicola Dula. And don't you blog about all this? And you know, you keep
I'm
in touch with everybody?
I'm a really lazy writer, but I do tweet and Facebook and stuff.
So you talk to people about this. I mean, you have... Yeah. You know, people know, you know, what you're doing.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so you're out and you're going, all right, you know, I can always make a little extra cash. You make kind of black and yellow duct tape wallets, which is very cool. I got one,
yep.
Thank you.
Yep.
And then, you know, and you do some hemp jewelry and different things. Mm-hmm. At least you're offering something.
Yeah, you know, and whenever I do fly, and I have my stuff out sitting next to me, you know, most of the signs will say, hey, trade, please trade. So I was standing outside for maybe 5 minutes before a cop rolls by, and on his CB loudspeaker he says, no panhandling, I could take you to jail for that. And so, I mean, that kind of threat, I immediately started packing my stuff up, sat down, I was putting my stuff away. I was sending a text message to Ethan to, tell him the change of plans when the cop pulled up right next to me and gets out and, you know, starts asking me for, you know, asking me for ID. And I comply, I give him my identification. And then he starts accusing me of causing trouble and doing, you know, things that shouldn't be done. And I said, hey, I'm just passing through, just trying to get a few dollars for food and, you know, whatnot. I'm not causing trouble. I'm just visiting my dad. And he says, well, where are you staying? And I said, a campsite. We've stayed at two different campsites in the few days I've been here. I don't know where it was, what the name of it is. And he said, well, what's your dad's name? And I said, I don't feel comfortable giving other people's information out. And he promptly, grabbed me by my wrists and pulled me up and put me in his car. He didn't take my cell phone from me, so I sat texting everybody that I could and tweeting what was going on, and immediately people were, you know, asking what was going on to, you know, to Ethan, to the internet, to the
jail. This is how I found out. You know, Drew Phillips was like, oh, Ernie, this is good. And the reason he knew I'd be interested is because you stopped on your way, you and Ethan traveling across the country hitchhiking and so on. I mean, that's how you travel.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And, yeah, it's amazing. You have to go to Indiana, then you had to come back here for this. You're going to, okay, you know, I mean, adventure and alphabets. All right. So here we have Drew. He says, Ernie, you're going to like this. It was silver. You know, it's a silver thing. She had a silver card, dime card. They didn't take that one, but, you know, silver thing. Let me tell you the story, silver. So we did it, and we're like, okay, let's do the story now. And we had planned then that we're coming here today. So let's go ahead and talk about he arrested you, mm-hmm. put you in the car, and he said you're guilty of what?
Oh, he didn't tell me anything that, you know, that I was guilty of. Once we got to the station, you know, he filled out the paperwork, and I was officially charged with loitering.
Well, what's the definition of loitering? I mean, you're standing. I mean,
I have no idea what the definition of loitering is. Apparently, you can't stand in the dirt or sit in the dirt anywhere. Nobody asked me to leave. Nobody told me that I wasn't supposed to be there. I think generally loitering is after you've been asked to leave. So once you arrested me, they took me.
Well, you're guilty. I mean, you know, they're going to guilty, 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 because you're guilty. I mean, you know, just FYI. Anyway,
well, they have the badges.
So he put you in the car, and then he took you here or Parker?
No, he took me about 45 minutes away to Parker, Arizona's jail. And
he had nothing else to do? 45 minutes, go to Parker?
Well, what was really interesting.
It's just a busy time of the year. I mean, this was not that long ago.
It was right around Christmas. It was 2 days after Christmas, I think.
And he's got time, 45-minute drive to Parker.
And back. What was really interesting was when I got the paperwork.
Now, was he a courtside police officer?
Yeah, courtside sheriff. He arrested me an hour before he did.
Now, there's county sheriff, La Paz County Sheriff, or there's courtside police. Is it a sheriff or a courtside police?
Oh, I think it said sheriff on the car.
Okay, it was a sheriff, so it's good. Well, I guess he wanted to go to Parker.
Yeah, I guess so. All right.
So the sheriff wants to take you to Parker.
On the ticket he gave me, though, he said he arrested me a full hour before he did, so I wonder what he was doing for that hour that he needed to cover up.
So you might want to just make that part of the record just in case. Just in case.
Yeah.
Now, just, you know, FYI, are we recording? I just want to make this one point. You know, this hour before, that's not when he came and got me. I just, this is FYI, I just wanted to know, okay, next. All right, no, that may be a very good point right there. Mm-hmm. Maybe motivation. Yeah. That is a very astute observation. Mm-hmm. All right. So he says that he got you an hour before for whatever reason. He can't tell time. He takes you up to Parker and processes you, and then he's done.
Mm-hmm. Yep. And okay. And he left.
They processed you for loitering. Here's a loiterer. Go get the loiterer. Okay, so they take you and they put you in a cage. They strip you. They take all your goodies, put you in a jumpsuit, hose you down, the whole spiel.
They did. I had to use lice shampoo in the
seriously
in the shower.
They do the whole thing.
I didn't use it, though. I was like, I'm not putting that poison on my body.
Okay. So they go through the process. How long were you there before they first tried to let you out?
I was there. I got there about 11:30 noonish. They didn't let me out until about 6. Well, it was probably like 5:30 the first time when they gave me my stuff back, and then about 6 by the time I actually got out, because they threw me back in the cage for complaining about not having my actual property returned.
Okay. Yeah, that's where we start getting interesting, all right? They put you in. You go through the process. You're 5 hours. Were there a lot of people there? Just you, a couple others?
I was
others?
The only person that came in. There was two other guys in a different holding cell that they let out just before they let me out.
Okay, so you go in there, you're sitting there, and they say, all right, we think you've been here long enough. Learned your lesson.
Exactly.
Okay, well, give me my prop. No. Oh, you want to get your stuff back? Well, get back in the hole, baby. Oh, that's how we roll around here. You know, you think you're in Mason-Dixon line. Well, we're going to find out how it worked out, what's going on, what we're doing today, when we come back with Nicola Dula here in Phoenix. Oh, no. Portside, Arizona. In the
To be a part of the show, call 602-264-2800, 602-264-2800, and now, Ernest Hancock.
Oh, I got pushed. There we go.
Because I'm having a good time, having a good time.
I'm a shooting star leaping through the sky like a tiger, defying the laws of gravity.
Yeah, and a couple other laws if I can get away with it. You know, Oh, Lady Godiva! Oh, I got Lady Godiva right here! Yeah, I think, you know, it's, the answer's always yes, it's just how much. Okay. Well, we want to know how much the man wants from us, you know, and what we got to do to get, you know, free, where we got to go. It's a space station, De La, whatever, you know, and we own you there too. So as you're in Parker. You're in Parker. They got you incarcerated. They go 4 or 5 hours later or so, 6 hours, something. They, you know, okay. you can leave now. Here's your stuff. Did you learn your lesson? They turn you out on the streets. Were they going to give you a ride back to Quartzsite?
No.
Of course not. And this is, God, you know, 45 minutes. So this is like 40, 50, 60 miles away. So they go, all right, now you're out in the Lone Prairie. And as you're starting to get out, you say, all right, well, give me my stuff. Hey, my stuff's not here with my stuff. So what kind of stuff are you looking for? What'd they do?
Well, what happened was inside my wallet, I had a little tiny bag with one silver quarter and five silver dimes, and they had taken that out of my wallet and put it with the dollar.
Okay, now, so a lot of you that don't know, if it's 1964 or earlier, dimes and quarters are 90% silver. The young generation now has learned, certainly with Dr. Paul explaining the Fed and inflation and kind of, you know, hey, man, you know what? These old dimes and quarters are worth a lot more, and they've been traded amongst each other as its own underground currency, using them as silver. Now, in fact, she was in Phoenix visiting with some friends, and they gave her a silver dime card. They had one of these dimes in a card. They didn't touch that. Yep. It looked like a little credit card or something.
Yep.
Now, you have five silver dimes, 1964, 90% silver. So each one of these right now are worth about $250 a piece. Okay. So this is, and plus they have medicinal qualities. I mean, you're using silver and you're doing, you know, you're sucking on dimes or something. I don't know. But anyway, so you have these five dimes and a quarter. So that is 75 cents. And you have a dollar bill and you have another dime card.
Yep.
So what did they take? What did they want to do for your property?
Well, they left the dime card alone in my wallet and put that with my bag and my clothing. And they put the dimes and the quarter with my dollar into the vault. And when I said, hey, I went to sign the paper and they handed me this check and they said, here, sign here that you received your property. And I said, well, this check isn't my property. I had junk silver in my wallet, not 75 cents. I said it's worth a lot more and it has sentimental and medicinal value for myself. When I said that, the officer said, well, it's too late for that. He said, technically, I can hold you for 24 hours. Do you want to get out of here or not? And I said, yeah, I want to get out of here, but I want to be sure that I'm going to get my property back. You know, this isn't what I gave you, and I'm signing that I received my property. And how can I sign that if I didn't receive my property? And so the cop says, lock her back up. And the other guard locks me back up. And so I go into the cell, and they left my cell, didn't take my cell phone from me. I'd already changed back to plain clothes. I got to tweet that back out that they locked me back up. And so I just sat there and kind of boo-hooed as loud as I could because I knew they could hear what was going on inside the cells because I could hear the two guys that were in the other cell while I was sitting there, you know, doing paperwork. So I sat there and bawled as loud as I could, and I sat where they could see me. And the lady cop came in a few minutes later and brought me food and was like, settle down, be careful, be quiet, you know, it's okay. She said, he's going to let you out after he lets the guys out. He's going to let them out first, and you can call tomorrow about your stuff. And she said that the jail vault was already closed. He didn't tell me that before I complained. He didn't say that the jail vault was closed. He just said, it's too late for that. And I didn't understand that. So once she said that the jail vault was closed, I understood. And I was like, oh, okay, well, you know, if I can call in the morning, that's all right. And, you know, they're telling me if I sign this paperwork and I can call in the morning for my stuff. So I called, you know, so I got out. I called in the morning. They said that I could come and pick it up anytime. And then I called back a couple hours later and asked if my dad could pick it up because I wasn't going to be able to go out there. My dad goes out to Parker once a month to groceries at Walmart, and he happened to be there the day that I got arrested. So with my phone, I was able to tell him. I was able to tell him, you know, via text that I was on my way to Parker. Could you please wait until I get out of jail? And so he was waiting for me when I got out. I had a ride back.
Lucky,
yes, very lucky.
Okay, so the next day, did your father go get your property?
No, he was planning to go back there in 2 weeks when he got his next food stamps card or whatever. Mm-hmm. And so I said, hey, is the 7th okay? That's the next time I'm going to be able to have somebody out getting out there. And they said, sure, that's fine. The 7th will be just fine. So he went out there on the 7th, and the vault was closed because it was a Saturday, and they didn't let me know any of that on the phone or anything, of course. So he wasn't able to get my property. I just talked to somebody this morning who said that it's right there in her desk and just come on down. So she opened it up to make sure it was the right stuff. It is the right stuff, apparently. So I can get the check back from my dad and go down there and exchange for these.
75 cents. 'Cause, damn it. You know, at least, you know, I tell you what the benefit. This is where, you know, I just creative thinking. For me, when they did this and they said, this silver has only 75 cents value to us. You just put it on the check. It says five dimes, quarter, 75 cents. Mm-hmm. So when you use this silver in exchange for something of much greater value, it would be 5, 10, 10, 15, 5, be about $20 worth of actual Federal Reserve notes converting just the spot price of this silver. So we're looking at about $20. So this $20, and you do the 75 cents, they're going to only be able to tax you on 75 cents and not the $20. So my thing is, I'm going, yeah, you're using this circulated silver, or some people call it junk silver. I'm going, yeah, so I got a $20 item for 75 cents. What are you going to tax me on? Quartzite and Parker and all these guys, I got documentation saying 75 cents. That's what you're going to tax me on. You guys want to play this game? Let's play. So anyway, so that's a silver lining right there. You got documentation of how much they tax you for. So now you're here today because in all of this, you are now in a situation to where you have a have to show your face for what?
Loitering?
Loitering. So you're a loiterer. You know, if you didn't show up, there'd be like an international dragnet warrant put out for you?
Probably a local, probably an Arizona warrant. And I know Arizona will extradite any county within two counties will extradite. And when they let me out, they made me sign an extradition thing so that, that they would be able to take me from, probably from other states too, but I'm not sure about that. I don't want a warrant. That's why I'm here today.
Come all the way back to freaking Quartzsite in the middle of the nothing.
Mm-hmm.
So you can just show up and they'll whatever they're going to do. And they're going to do it, you know, here and within a half hour or so.
Yep.
Wow. Well, you get to see your dad again.
Yeah, that's a good, that's a benefit.
Say hello, hello. All right. All right. So you're, you know, and I don't know how much you want to talk about it, but I mean, you travel across the country, you know, inexpensively.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, your thing is that you, what is your life? How do we know you from Facebook. Some other people know who you are. You're friends with other people that we know. And it's just like this whole generation. It's like it's the 60s all over again.
Hey.
You know, it's the 70s. It's just like, you know, no, we're, you know, we turned on, tuned in, dropped out because we know better. And every chance the man gets, it reminds you why. You know, when we come back, we'll talk about, you know, Nicola Dula. Dula is like a helper for midwife. You're trained in doing that.
Yeah.
So this is, you know, there's some skills out here amongst the youth.
There are those that just want to be left alone, and those that just won't leave them alone. Which one are you? The Ernest Hancock Show.
Hello, welcome back to Declare Your Independence. Hey, we're rebooting the computer, missed it by 10 seconds for the music. But I can sing. No, let's not do that. Now, we're here in Quartzsite, Arizona, doing live remote in the Freedom's Phoenix RV. You know, we're making sure that, you know, that it's working, that we got the studio going. You know, we're kind of kicking, you know, the tires, make sure we get all the bugs out. We're going to need more backup power. We're going to need more, you know, inverter, this, that, and more time because we got a three-hour show. We used to do a two-hour, and then we've gone to the third hour. It's like, damn. You know, more electricity. All right, we know how to do that. Now, we're talking to Nicola Dula. She is what are you? Are you considered an act? A lot of the activists and the revolutionaries and the voluntarist movement and everything, they've come associated with you on Facebook. It's just like any and everybody that kind of thinks, you know, leave me aloneist. I'm wanting to go around and everybody just kind of, hey, you know, what are you doing? And what are you doing? And I'm doing this and I'll be by and come by and visit and you're on your way. And kind of, so that's how you know some of the people that we know.
Mm-hmm.
And then that's how we found out while you're tweeting there in jail, you know, and they're going, ooh, silver, we got attention. We get to go to court tonight. Hello. So this is, but you know, you're 28 years old and you just travel the country. Your father winter's here and you just came by to visit. He's trying to, you know, stay, you know, cheap and down low and kind of just survive, and this is one way to do it.
Yeah.
Which is what drew a lot of people to Quartzsite. I mean, that was, you know, people really wanted to be off the grid, and they're just going, no, you're not allowed. You got to get permits. You got to be registered. You got to, I mean, damn, man, we're in the freak. You can't go anywhere.
Even the free camping out here, you have to go and register your name for now.
What?
They have 14-day free camping at just about, like, there's probably six or seven places. They now have camp hosts who want you to come and show your ID and write down your name so they know who's where.
So you free camping, you have to register.
Yep, yep.
Wow. See, that's one thing, you know, being 50 years old, I remember, you know, back when it was, you know, semi, we used to be free. Now, I remember, this will freak you out. I graduated high school in 79. A friend of mine, she got a job with Eastern Airlines. It was, you know, from one of the airlines that went out. But anyway, she went to Miami for training, and she moved, was being stationed at New York City, and she asked me to help her move, you know, to go there, which is why I spent a few months in New York City, and we had a home in Sheepshead Bay there where there's 9 stewardesses. So that was like better than not, okay? That was the good old days. But anyway, so while I went there to do that, I remember her running the shuttle between Boston, New York, Boston, Washington, D.C., New York, Washington, D.C., Washington, D.C., New York. And how you got on the plane is you went through the metal detector, you got onto the plane. You just went and got on the plane.
Yep.
It took off, and you paid with a credit card in flight.
Oh.
They didn't even know who you were. They didn't care. It was a shuttle. It was like getting on a bus.
Mm-hmm.
Them days gone.
Totally.
Gone, 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 gone. I remember even before the metal detectors. I lived in Florida. Everybody was wanting to hijack to Cuba, you know, or from Cuba or something. Mm-hmm. And it's just more fear, 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 fear. And I don't think we're better off. But, you know, I want to be able to get on Fly and Die Airlines. I just drive up, get on tarmac, and they issue me my 9mm in case I forgot mine. You know, yeah. And if I want to be all the anal probed, I'll go to the anal probe airline.
Yep.
You know, I'll get on Fly and Die Airlines. That's just faster. I don't have to be in line. You know, so it's freedom is just so dumb. Well, you're trying to live a free life. You're kind of you're like a cartoon character. You know, you're out traveling, hitchhiking across, you know, a beautiful young woman. You know, this is kind of a brave thing you do. I mean, you have truckers who give you a ride down to whatever. You had a guy from Las Vegas where you're staying and working now. He'd take you, you know, by here on his way to Tucson and so mm-hmm. on. So, I mean, isn't it dangerous out there? Or you feel pretty comfortable? What?
Well, somebody asked me the other day, aren't you afraid of axe murders? And I said, I carry my own axe, you know. They should be afraid of me. No, I generally think that people want to do good, you know. I have not encountered anybody who doesn't want to do good. Most people pick you up because they want to help you out and they want to be nice. And I haven't had any problems with anybody.
How many rides have you taken?
Hundreds. I've met hundreds of people, and you know, not one of them has done me any harm or done anything disrespectful or, you know, to make me fearful of people.
And you're an attractive woman. I mean, this is interesting that you would, it's not often you have certainly this amount of experience that mm-hmm. had this kind of experience. You know, when I was a kid and we used to travel, we do a lot of car vacations and we lived in Florida. My mother is from Arizona here. You know, the whole side of my mother's family, Mormon, my sister, Mormon. I mean, it's part of the Lehi Mormon invasion in the Mesa. Mm-hmm. You know, it goes way back. My father met her from Florida when he was in the Air Force here. She was a nurse. So we spent most of my youth until I was 12 years old in Florida. Well, we would drive from Florida to here. And whenever there was a hitchhiker, we had room. You know, me and my three sisters, right? You know, there's always one little squeeze in a little space. You know, this serviceman, this person, this whatever. I mean, if they got a little too grungy, my dad passed them on, but especially if they were in uniform.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so we'd entertain ourselves with all these hitchhikers.
It is entertaining. I mean, for both parts, you know, I get to talk to a lot of people and about stuff like this, like, you know, what we're talking about now. Get to spread the message of liberty. A lot of people are already a little bit on board, and you know, just being able to, you know, use language and examples and stuff to kind of pull them in a little bit more towards our side, you know, it's really great. And I
hitchhiker,
you know,
ambassador, the volunteerist movement, is that it?
Yeah, well, you know, I feel like everybody has something to teach and everybody has something to learn, and the more people you talk to, the more you're going to learn and teach at the same time.
This is traveling the country. How long have you been doing this, traveling by hitchhiking? How many
years? A little over a year.
All of a sudden you decided, I'm just going to go do this?
Yeah, well, I've always wanted to travel. I've never really stayed in one place for very long. You just met my dad, and he lives in that van. He pulled up in. That's his house. My norm was always kind of traveling and moving around. I moved around a lot as a kid. My dad has always lived in a van as long as I can remember. And, you know, kind of vagabond lifestyle is for me, you know. I don't feel comfortable staying in one place for really long. And anytime I'm living in a house, I get this itch like, let's move somewhere. Let's go somewhere else. So
tell me how it's changed the mindset by traveling so much and meeting a wide, diverse people. Well, certainly on the highway, I guess kind of limited. But, you know, has the demeanor of the people changed? Are they concerned about different things? What are they talking to you about? How have they changed their views on different things that are going around you guys talk about?
Oh, well, you know, politics is always a really good thing to, you know, it's a quick one to get into after you talk about the weather. So, you know, a lot of people will say, you know, that they have problems with police. A lot of it is police, you know, because a lot of people just ask questions about the hitchhiking. So, you know, they're like, isn't it dangerous? And, you know, my answer usually is that the police are the most dangerous part. You know, people want to do good. Cops just want to arrest people or, you know, harass people. That's their job. They're doing their job, which is to harass, intimidate, and arrest people. So a lot of conversations center around that, and then that kind of gets us onto the topic.
Well, let's go ahead and talk about that. I mean, traveling around the country, a lot of your travels is just going to previous court dates. I mean, you just came from one.
Not too many.
You just came from one. What was it, Indiana?
It was Illinois, actually. We Ethan was arrested that time, and then we were both giving tickets for soliciting a ride in the roadway. And we headed up there to try to fight it, and so many people had told us just don't go. And I was already convinced that I shouldn't go well before people started saying I shouldn't go, because the maximum penalty for soliciting a ride is a year in jail. And even though we were pushing it to a jury trial, I was not confident that 12 of these sheep would say, hey, that's wrong. Or even one of them would.
The way the law, as I understood, the law is, you know, while on the roadway or something. Well, you weren't.
No, we were in the grass.
That technicality, yeah. And the fact that you would challenge it, mm-hmm. They go, oh, we're going maximum on this.
Yeah, so we were on our way up there, and we were there. It was the day before the court date, and we were still in Missouri, and we weren't going to make it to the person who was going to drive us to Illinois. So I called in the day of the court. I said, hey, your laws said we can't hitchhike. That's my means of transportation. I've been trying to find a ride up there, and I can't get up there. I called and said that, you know, we weren't coming. I don't know what happened. I've been called to see what happened. We didn't show up.
Guilty.
So I definitely probably have an...
guilty, 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 guilty. We're going to find out, you know, sooner or later, and we'll let you know. Because, you know, just be with a little...
We know you're out there. We can feel you now. We know that you're afraid. You're afraid of us. You're afraid of change. We don't know the future. We aren't here to tell you how this is going to end. We're here to tell you how it's going to begin. We're going back to editing the next edition of Freedom's Phoenix Digital Magazine now, where we are telling the people what you don't want them to know. We're showing them a world without you, a world without rules and controls, without borders or boundaries, a world where anything is possible. Where we go from there is a choice we leave to you. Subscribe at freedomsphoenixeasy.com. That's freedoms with an S, phoenixeasy.com.
And now, live from the studios of Freedom's Phoenix, Ernest Hancock.
William Wallace, you stand in taint of high treason.
Against whom?
Against your king. Have you anything to say?
Never in my whole life did I swear allegiance to him.
It matters not. He is your king. Confess, and you may receive a quick death. Deny, and you must be purified by pain. Do you confess? Do you confess? Then on the morrow you shall receive your purification.
Well, Nicole is getting her purification. She's going in there right now to get purified. You know, do you confess? Matters not. He is your king. Matters not. King. King, 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 king. So this is the attitude that we're having to cope with. And there are people that are just, you know, you would think that in the land of the free, home of the brave, that as long as you're not bothering anyone, you're just allowed to be left alone. The whole concept of this pre-crime and you got to protect you against yourself or what you might do to others and so on, it presupposes that, you know, there are bad guys out there. But I'm always buoyed by the idea that most people are good. Here's an attractive young woman hitchhiking for a year across country, no problem. Is she going to run into a problem eventually? Probably. You know, it'll be something she can't, you know, get out of. Yeah, maybe. But to make the decision that they're not allowed, individuals are not allowed to defend themselves, is the first problem. Not allowed to make weigh the benefits and risks and make their own decisions. That is what the government was always there to do, was to allow us the freedom to make mistakes, was to allow us the freedom to learn from our mistakes and from others making mistakes. What's the solution? I don't know. You get your own defense shield. You know, you have your own means of protection. And a lot of it is just not being a butthead. A lot of it is just being nice. A lot of it is just making sure that you're not bringing attention to yourself, unnecessarily by being a pain to someone else. But government always are looking for problems. They manufacture the problems. They amplify the problems. And it always goes, well, what if, and don't you think that, well, if everybody did that, you know what I mean? It's all this collective, we rule you, smarter than you, better for you to do what we want because we can. Quartzsite is just the latest example of what we've experienced here in Arizona. I came in, I was born in 61 in Florida. My family moved here to where my mother's from in the early 70s. I think it was like 72, 73. We came here, and I remember my father and I used to take his Honda motorcycle, and later you would get a Goldwing, and what they call an Aspencade or something like that. I think Michael Connor's got one. So what happened was my father and I, we'd tour the state. We'd take day rides and go all over the place, all these small towns, and they're all gone now. They've all been metropolized. They've all been homogenized into the U.S. version of you got your McDonald's. And I remember it used to be so different. And when there was an example, the young man went up for Don't Tread on Me, and they went up to Monument Valley, which is northeastern part of the United States, for a viral video they're working on for their silver vending machine. They were like, wow. It was a culture time warp. We went to a whole bam. They went to the local bars there with Native Americans in them and people talking and doing. They only white man. This was a culture shock for them in asking how they, you know, they traded. You know, they opened to the silverite, which they were. Because Native Americans up there, silver and turquoise, that's all the jewelry is. They know the value of silver. They know regularly because they have to buy it. So they're just, you know, this is a whole different, you have to go there to get to where you're not in the same police state of America. Quartzsite used to be one of those areas, and you could see it just over the last 20 years. Now think about it. My fourth child was born in the late 80s. Sierra, she's now 21. When they were babies and young, you know, in the early 90s, we would come out here and you go in it. It's like a big, giant, 100,000 RV parking swap. It was great. You had all these flyers. Everybody's handing around, you know, where different stuff is. Go see this and go see that. It was unlimited opportunities. So now what do we find from Nicola? That even in the free campgrounds, they got camp hosts that you have to register. They got to know who you are even to camp free. You're not allowed to exist without being on the grid. That's what drew people to here. There were people that just, you know, didn't want to pay taxes. They sold their homes. They're on the lam from whatever stupid whatever. Or they could even be real criminals. And as long as they weren't bothering anybody, because, you know, through deterrence or demise, the Second Amendment and armed free and good people kind of take care of the problem. people just continually be victimized over years and years and decades to the point that you create an undeterred and undemised criminal class that prey on people and know that they're in a safe work environment like OSHA for criminals where it's illegal for you to defend yourself. Here in Arizona, that's changed because of a lot of a cultural, you know, battle that we've had for a long time, making sure that people understood that we are safer. We are better off. Society is better off. We have a polite society when it's armed. Right now, the Arizona State Legislature, one of the places that they have banned firearms still is at the universities and in bars. Well, if it's coming up, they may make that legal. Now, in the bars, it's like when you go to, you know, Applebee's and they're serving alcohol in there. Well, if they serve alcohol, you know, you're done. So Denny's, they, you know, serve wine now or something. No guns. You know, so they're changing that. Or trying to. We'll see what happens. Because our experience here is that violent crime plummets. Bad guys that would continually be habitually abusing people, you know, maiming and death, they're meeting their demise. And at least deterrence, because so many people are armed here. Freedom's the answer. What's the question? In Quartzsite, it's not that we focus on Quartzsite because we got any kind of special, you know, love or hate because of Quartzsite. It's just such a good example. It's just indicative of what's happening across the planet. You cannot have a gathering of people that there's not someone that wants to control them, laying claim to them, that they are your protector. But the biggest thing you have to fear are the protectors. Who watches the watchers? Well, here you're not allowed to. Heck, they're not. You're not even allowed to dissent at city town meetings anymore. Unless on the agenda it says that you are able to discuss, render an opinion, address council, you're no longer allowed to. And who do you complain to? Who's culpable in this? All levels of government, state, county, federal. Why? Because they can. The people aren't insisting on their rights. And when they do, they're kind of maneuvered and cajoled and tricked and deceived into asking for stuff that doesn't matter. I'll give you the Tea Party movement, Occupy Wall Street, whatever it is. I mean, you know, what should we be asking for? To be left alone. There are those that just want to be left alone, and there are those that just won't leave them alone. Which one are you? Here in Quartzsite, a lot of people came here just to be left alone. But there's always those that seek the positions of power, the shiny badgers, that, you know, you respect my authority and I got a gun. No accountability. When it comes down, no matter how much you can demonstrate how badly they've acted, that they're not meeting their minimum job requirement of defending your individual rights. And in a country that was supposed to be based entirely on that function of government, the defense of individual rights, when they're not doing it, and they become the abusers of those rights continually over a long period of time, a long train of abuses, it becomes the people's right to alter or abolish. Well, they're making that attempt here in Quartzsite. They have the attention of the local media here in Arizona, the major newspapers. And they'll come out and they'll go, yeah, that really sucks. And what'll happen? We're building up to a revolution in this country. And we're not trying to instigate it. We're trying to keep it peaceful. We're trying to do it with love, the love illusion. But there is a revolution coming. They're guaranteeing it. Just make sure you know which side you're on.